Hello, bankers. Welcome to the very first deep dive for the Business Banking Edge. We are absolutely thrilled you're here with us.
Yeah, it's really exciting to kick things off. We're looking forward to digging into some great stuff with you.
Absolutely. So here's what we're all about. We want to bridge that gap, you know, between the really brilliant big ideas and your actual daily grind.
Exactly. We're taking insights from, well, industry legends, thought leaders, experts, and then breaking it down, showing you exactly how to apply it in the real world.
Yeah, with like concrete examples you can actually use tomorrow, not just theory.
That's right. So whether you're a relationship manager, you know, carefully building those client portfolios.
Or an underwriter, really digging into the details of those complex deals.
Or maybe you're a branch-based banker, right there, serving customers face-to-face every single day.
Or a team leader, trying to inspire your crew. This deep dive, and really all the ones we have planned, they're designed with you specifically in mind.
Yeah, we want this to be practical for everyone in the banking world.
Look, we know you have your employer's training programs, and those are essential. We're not trying to replace that.
Not at all.
Think of us more as, well, your optional upgrade, a way to become the absolute best version of your professional self.
And not just hitting the numbers, right? It's about the whole experience you create.
Exactly. And we get it. You're busy. You don't have time to read every single new business book that comes out.
Or scroll endlessly through LinkedIn, trying to figure out what's actually useful and what's just noise.
Right. You need something that cuts through all that fluff and gives you real, actionable value.
Yeah, stuff you can use right away.
I'm talking about those moments, you know? Those, wait, why didn't I think of that before? Moments. Mm. The ones that genuinely change how you approach things.
It's about taking that big, sometimes complex wisdom and making it immediately useful, something that empowers you right now.
So let's dive in. This is deep dive number one. Here we go. Okay, picture this. You walk into what's supposed to be the world's most acclaimed restaurant, the service. It isn't just good. It's extraordinary. It's personal. It's so memorable that people are still talking about their specific experience years later.
Wow. Yeah, you remember those moments.
Totally. Now, what if I told you that the secret sauce behind all that magic, it isn't really about the food at all.
Interesting. So what is it then?
It's about a mindset, a philosophy, really, one that could completely transform how you approach every single client interaction you have in banking.
That's the big claim. But, you know, it actually resonates. It feels like it could be a real game changer, something that redefines what service even means.
Today, we're unpacking Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Goddara. He's the visionary who, along with his business partner, took the 11 Madison Park restaurant in New York City.
EMP, yeah. Legendary place.
Exactly. Took it from, you know, a really well-liked brasserie to a Michelin-starred world number one dining destination.
Quite the transformation.
Huge. But here's the kicker. We are absolutely not talking about restaurants today.
Okay, good. Because I'm a banker, not a chef.
Right. We're talking about how his revolutionary, sometimes really counterintuitive approach to hospitality, how that can make you the kind of banker clients remember, the kind they genuinely refer to others, and honestly, the kind they actually look forward to working with.
That's the goal, isn't it? To build those kinds of relationships.
We're hoping this deep dive will fundamentally change how you think about client engagement, about service, really forever.
And what's so fascinating, I think, is just how universal these principles are. Goddara's story itself, going from a young busboy to co-owning the world's best restaurant. It's compelling, sure.
It's a great story.
But it's more than that. It gives us such a clear window into these concepts. He didn't just wake up one day with this grand plan.
No, it sounds like it was more gradual.
Exactly. He started out like a lot of us, just working hard, learning the ropes. But he always seemed to have this eye for something more, something deeper than just, you know, efficiency or checking boxes.
He was watching, thinking.
Constantly observing, yeah. Constantly asking, what if we did this differently? What if we could make people feel something more? That seems to be the core question.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Part one, the foundation redefining service through hospitality and intention. This feels like the absolute starting point.
It really is. This is where Goddara lays out the core difference. And honestly, I think this distinction alone can reshape your whole professional outlook, no matter what your job is in banking.
So we start by welcoming you, the listener, to what Goddara calls the hospitality economy.
Right. And at its heart, it's all about the feeling you leave people with.
It sounds almost too simple, doesn't it?
It does. But it's incredibly powerful when you actually apply it intentionally. It's not fluffy, it's foundational.
Okay, so let's get into that distinction he makes. It's crucial. Between service and hospitality.
Yeah, this is huge.
He describes service as black and white. It's about competence, efficiency, doing the job right.
The mechanics.
Exactly. Getting the right plate to the right person in a restaurant. Or for us, maybe processing a deposit accurately, answering a basic question quickly. You nail the technical parts.
You provide the correct information. You execute the transaction flawlessly. That's good service. And let's be clear, that's essential. It's the table stakes.
Totally. It's the baseline. But then there's hospitality.
Which he calls color. I love that analogy.
Me too. It's vivid. Hospitality is where you go beyond just the technical stuff. It's about making people feel great about the job you're doing for them.
Making those authentic connections. Giving people a sense of belonging. Making them feel seen, valued. That's the color.
EMP didn't just get to be number one by being great at the black and white.
Absolutely not. They achieved that legendary status by going, as you said, technicolor with their hospitality. It was so bespoke, sometimes so over the top, people called it unreasonable.
Unreasonable, but in a good way.
In the best way. They pushed boundaries. They weren't just meeting expectations. They were creating entirely new ones.
So translating that, if service is making sure a loan gets approved on time, which is critical.
Absolutely critical.
Then hospitality is that feeling the client walks away with. That feeling of genuine relief, of deep partnership, even if the process itself had some bumps.
It's how you tint that whole experience, right? With care, with connection, with understanding.
And here's where it gets really interesting and frankly, critical for us in banking. Gudara points out this massive shift in the U.S. economy. We've moved from manufacturing
to service. Dramatically. Huh. Over 3/4 of GDP now comes from service industries.
That's not just a stat for economists. That means every single business, retail, finance, everything has this incredible opportunity, maybe even, you know, a growing need.
To be intentional, to be creative about hospitality. It's not just a nice to have anymore.
Which raises a really important question for everyone listening, doesn't it? In a world where so many banking services are getting digitized, automated, let's be honest, commoditized. Mm-hmm. How do you actually stand out?
Yeah, what's the real risk if a bank or even an individual banker doesn't prioritize this color, this hospitality? Are we just talking about losing a bit of market share? Or is it something deeper?
I think Gudara would argue it's much deeper. You lose the human connection. You lose that emotional resonance that truly makes you different.
You become interchangeable.
Exactly. He attributes that famous quote, often linked to Maya Angelou.
People will forget what you did, forget what you said.
But they'll never forget how you made them feel. He says that is the core of hospitality's lasting impact.
And he experienced it himself, right? As a kid.
Yeah. He tells a story about being 12 years old at the Four Seasons restaurant. Decades later, he didn't remember the specific food or the decor detail.
Would he remember the feeling?
He never forgot how that experience made him feel. It literally shaped his entire life's work, that feeling.
That's incredible. So, okay, let's make this super practical. Let's break it down for different banking roles. How does this actually look day to day?
Good idea. Let's start with a branch-based banker. Typical scenario, efficiently processing a deposit, answering a basic question. That's service, black and white.
Gets the job done.
Gets the job done. But what if, as Gudara asks, what if you made that person feel like they just walked into a place where they genuinely belong, where they're recognized, cared for.
That's a totally different energy.
Totally.
Yeah.
So the Gudara approach, instead of just shouting, next.
Please, no more next.
Right. Imagine greeting a regular client by name. Not because you glanced at their account screen, but because you remembered them.
You make eye contact. You smile.
You ask about their weekend, maybe. Or you even recall a little detail from a previous chat. How was that trip? You genuinely listen for cues about their mood, their needs.
So it's not just, how can I help you? It might be.
Welcome back, Miss Chen. Hey, how was that family trip to the Finger Lakes we talked about last time? I hope it was great.
See, that connects on a human level.
Yeah.
It shows you remember, you care. It turns a routine task into a personal moment.
What about for a relationship manager? The stakes are maybe even higher there with those deeper client relationships.
For sure. A standard approach.
Huh?
Maybe sending out a standardized email with market updates. It's informative, necessary service.
Checks the box.
Checks the box.
Yeah.
But the hospitality mindset, That shifts things. You send a personalized note, maybe references a specific conversation you had recently.
Or a challenge the client mentioned, even just in passing.
Exactly. Or maybe an insight that's uniquely relevant to their specific business goals, their industry. You're showing you didn't just hear them, you listened. You're thinking about their unique situation.
You care about their success. It's the difference between, like, a mass email and a handwritten note, almost.
Precisely. It's bespoke. It feels personal because it is personal.
And the measurable outcome here, it's pretty clear, isn't it? It just compounds over time.
Oh, absolutely. You see client retention go up. You get more positive word-of-mouth referrals, the best kind.
Clients start seeking you out specifically, not just the bank, but you, because of how you make them feel.
They see you as a trusted partner. Someone who gets them. And that translates directly to stronger relationships, more loyalty, and ultimately more business. It's a virtuous cycle.
And this whole commitment, this idea of making people feel something profound, it's not just random acts of kindness, is it?
No, not at all. It's built on something Gudara emphasizes constantly, the power of intention.
Right. He says, intention means every decision. From the most obviously significant to the seemingly mundane matters.
Every single one. To do something with intentionality means to do it thoughtfully, with clear purpose and an eye on the desired result.
He gives that example of himself at 13. He knew he wanted to go to Cornell, open a restaurant in New York.
And marry Cindy Crawford. Let's not forget that one.
Right. But the point is, everything he did from then on was guided by those intentions, that desired result.
Even his first job at Baskin Robbins, piping happy birthday on ice cream cakes. He wasn't just decorating. He was intentionally trying to make someone's birthday special.
It's about connecting those daily tasks, even the small ones, to a bigger purpose, fostering genuine interest, creating purpose on purpose, as he puts it.
So how does that apply to, say, an underwriter? Their job seems very technical, very black and white.
That's a great question. A traditional approach might be just processing documents, identifying risks, ensuring compliance, critical service.
Absolutely necessary.
But with intention, an underwriter starts by thinking about the client's story, the why behind the loan request, their dreams, their challenges.
So they're not just looking for reasons to say no.
Exactly. They're actively aiming to find solutions, to find pathways to approval, rather than just listing roadblocks.
It's a mindset shift.
Yeah.
What would happen, Gudara might ask, if we approached that loan application with the same passion and attention to detail a top chef brings to their signature dish?
Wow. That reframes it completely. It's moving from being a gatekeeper
to being a proactive problem solver, an enabler of the client's goals.
It means asking more questions, maybe looking for alternative structures, collaborating with other teams to find a way forward, not just processing what's put in front of you.
And for a team leader, how does intention play out there?
Well, think about a typical team meeting. Often it's just reporting numbers, assigning tasks.
Status updates.
Right. But with intention, every meeting, every one-on-one check-in has a clear purpose beyond just the updates. The leader is aiming to make team members feel seen, feel valued.
To inspire them, maybe. To connect their daily work back to that bigger mission of making clients feel genuinely cared for.
Yeah. It's about asking yourself, what's the feeling I want my team to leave this meeting with? That kind of intentionality. It doesn't just boost morale. It fuels better performance, deeper engagement.
Okay, so we've established the foundation. Making people feel great is key, and doing it with intention is how you get there.
But here's the big question, especially for banking. How do you actually do this without just, you know, throwing money around? Budgets are tight. Every dollar counts.
Right. How do you implement this unreasonable approach responsibly?
Gudara has this brilliant, totally counterintuitive idea. It completely reframes how you think about investing in the client experience. It's called the rule of 9555.
Ah, yes. This is fantastic. It really challenges conventional thinking about budgeting.
Totally. Get this. Gudara advises, manage 95% of your business down to the penny.
Be super diligent, super efficient with the vast majority of your resources.
Spend the last 5% foolishly?
Foolishly. I love that word choice too. Because it's not really foolish at all, is it?
Not in the slightest. It's the smartest money you can spend. That little 5%, it has this completely outsized impact on the client experience. Way more impact than its actual cost would suggest.
He uses that MoMA example, right? The gelato cart.
Perfect example. Designing this gelato cart for the Museum of Modern Art's sculpture garden, he managed 95% of that budget like crazy. Negotiated to get the actual cart for free, got a great deal on the gelato. He was ruthless with the 95%.
Down to the penny, like you said.
But that last 5%, he deliberately splurged. on these beautiful, high-end, exquisitely designed gelato spoons.
Spoons. Seems minor.
Seems minor, right. But he knew that tiny, seemingly insignificant detail would dramatically change the whole feeling, the whole experience.
And did it work?
Totally. He watched the head of the museum buying gelato for some visiting curators, and every single one of them, every single one, commented on the spoons.
Wow. Not the gelato, not the fancy car.
Spoons. That was a little detail they remembered. It created this moment of surprise, of delight. It elevated the whole thing. That's the power of the 5%.
Okay, so how do we translate that into banking? Let's take a small business banker.
All right. Standard process.
Yeah.
Onboarding, paperwork, account setup, compliance, efficient service. That's the 95%. You do that perfectly.
Got to nail the basics.
But the 5%, that's where you get creative. It could be a small, thoughtful welcome gesture, something that shows you understand their business, not just a generic bank-branded pen.
Okay, like what? Give me an example.
So imagine your new client owns a local bakery. Your 5% could be, maybe after the account is all set up, sending over a really high-quality professional apron. Maybe even get their bakery logo embroidered on it.
Oh, that's good. That's really specific to them.
Or if they own an independent bookstore, maybe find a cool, unique first edition of a classic novel. It's not about spending a ton of money. It's about the thought. It shows you see their passion.
Even simpler, maybe. A handwritten card.
Absolutely. A handwritten card acknowledging a milestone you saw on LinkedIn, their business anniversary, a new product launch. That can be your 5%. It makes them feel genuinely seen. It's personal, not generic.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. What about for an RM dealing with larger clients?
Same principle. Instead of just budgeting for, you know, the usual client dinners or generic holiday gift baskets.
Which everyone kind of expects and maybe don't always value that much.
Right. You shift that 5% of your budget or effort towards truly personalized gestures. So instead of those generic sports tickets, maybe it's a small donation in their name to their favorite local charity, one you know they're really involved with.
Or that rare book by an author they mentioned they admire.
Exactly. It shows you're listening deeply. You understand their values, what matters to them beyond just the business deal. It tells them, I hear you. I know you. I care about what you care about. That's way more powerful than another steak dinner.
Okay, one more, a treasury professional. Their work seems very data-driven. How does the 5% apply?
Good one. Standard approach. Presenting the usual reports, cash flow, liquidity, hedging, all vital, necessary service. Black and white.
The 95%.
The 95%. But yeah. That 5%. Maybe you take the extra time, the extra effort to create a custom data visualization, something that uniquely highlights a key trend specifically for their business, saving them hours of trying to figure it out themselves.
Or maybe offering a proactive insight, like spotting an emerging market trend that could really impact their operations, positive or negative.
Yes. It's adding that extra layer of insight, of foresight that goes beyond the standard report. It directly addresses their unstated needs, shows you're thinking ahead for them.
The measurable outcome of all this, the strategic generosity, seems pretty clear.
Oh, it's huge. Stronger client loyalty, definitely. Deeper relationships built on real trust and connection.
Which leads to more organic referrals.
And ultimately, increased share of wallet. When you start doing this, you'll find, just like Ghidara did, this absolutely transformed how I think about client spend. It's not wasteful. It's strategically impactful.
It's investing in the relationship, not just the transaction. That's the key takeaway there.
Exactly. And speaking of relationships, that flows perfectly into the next big idea here. Hospitality as a dialogue and the incredible power of creating legends.
Right. Ghidara is adamant. Hospitality is a dialogue, not a monologue.
This feels so important, especially in sales-oriented roles. It's not just presenting your product list and waiting for the client to pick one.
No, it's about engaging them. A real two-way conversation to uncover what they truly need, what they desire, often things they haven't even articulated yet.
It requires deep listening and then crafting something unique, something memorable, based on what you heard.
And that's where legends come in. These aren't just nice gestures. These are the unforgettable stories, the experiences people talk about for years. They become part of the client's personal narrative about you and the bank.
Ghidara's examples are amazing, bringing that street hot dog to the fancy table at EMP because some European guests mentioned missing them.
Or the 100 grand candy bars under the banker's chair after that joke about needing $1 million.
Hilarious, but so observant. Or even recreating a beach scene in a private dining room for a couple whose vacation got canceled.
These aren't just gifts, they're stories. Stories where the client feels utterly, completely seen and heard. Their casual comment, their disappointment, their joke, It was acknowledged and turned into something extraordinary.
Imagine being that client. Just imagine the feeling that someone listened so closely, cared so much that they did that unexpectedly, delightfully.
It builds incredible loyalty. So for RMs or small business bankers, how does this translate beyond candy bars and beaches?
It means shifting the conversation starter. Instead of just launching into, okay, here are our current loan options.
Which can feel very transactional.
Right. You initiate a real dialogue. You might ask something like, putting aside what you think we offer, or even maybe what you initially came in for, what's the biggest challenge you're really trying to solve right now? What keeps you up at night about your business's future, even your personal legacy?
That opens up a much richer conversation, doesn't it? It gets beyond the immediate need.
Totally. And it allows you to tailor solutions based on that deep listening, not just the product sheet. So for that business owner talking about expansion,
instead of just talking rates and terms,
you might say, you know, I've heard you talk really passionately about your commitment to sustainability using local suppliers. What if we explored some financing options that specifically reward those kinds of green initiatives or community impact? Maybe beyond the standard structures. Is that something you'd find valuable?
That's a dialogue. That leads to a bespoke solution that really resonates with their values, their vision, not just a loan product.
And creating legends in banking, it means training yourself, training your team to listen for those little things, those casual remarks, aspirations, minor frustrations.
Little conversational breadcrumbs.
Exactly. Could a client mentioning their kid's upcoming college graduation lead to a quick follow-up email? Maybe with a link to a relevant article about financial planning for new grads.
Or even a small symbolic gift related to the college mascot, if you know it. It's just you paid attention, you remembered, you care about their life outside the bank statement.
That $1 million legend we mentioned, the banker jokingly says, I need $1 million for my raise.
And the team leaves a bag of 100 grand bars under his chair. Genius.
It's about that immediate applicability. Listen for a hobby, a family event, a small frustration. Find a thoughtful, often small, maybe unexpected way to acknowledge it. Something beyond standard service.
It's about creating those moments that hit home personally. The moments that become stories.
And the measurable outcome. Clients become, as Goodara calls them, raving fans. They actively refer new business because they're genuinely excited to share their positive, unforgettable stories.
Those stories build your reputation, build trust, and drive organic growth way more effectively than any expensive marketing campaign ever could. Those legends travel.
Powerful stuff. Really powerful. But, you know, it's one thing to talk about delivering this amazing experience to clients.
It's another thing to actually make it happen consistently. Especially if your internal culture doesn't support it.
Exactly. It's like trying to fill a bucket that's got a hole in it. Which brings us neatly to part three. Cultivating an internal culture of unreasonable hospitality.
This is crucial. Because you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Your team needs to feel that same sense of care and value internally.
And this section starts with a really powerful mantra. One that should probably be posted in every office. Their perception is our reality.
Oof. Yeah, that one can be tough to swallow sometimes, can't it? Especially for people who really pride themselves on being accurate, on being right.
Totally. Goodara tells that story from EMP, a server arguing with a guest about whether their steak was rare or medium rare.
The server was technically correct, based on cooking temperatures and definitions.
Yeah, by the book, the server was right. But Goodara realized in that moment, being right is irrelevant. If the guest perceives the steak isn't right for them, that is their reality. And the job isn't to argue or educate them in that moment.
It's to fix it, to make them happy. Arguing just breaks the connection, ruins the experience, no matter who's technically correct. It shames the guest.
And this applies so directly to banking. Think about a branch-based banker again. Customer complains about a long wait time.
The typical response, sorry, we're short-staffed today, or it's just really busy.
Right, which might be factually true. But it's also dismissive. It invalidates the customer's feeling, their frustration.
It basically says, your perception is wrong, or your inconvenience isn't our priority.
Exactly. So the Goodara approach, totally different. The banker responds with genuine empathy first.
Something like, I completely understand your frustration, and I sincerely apologize for the wait. Your time is absolutely valuable, and we really appreciate your patience. This isn't the experience we aim for.
And then maybe, how can I best help you now? Perhaps offer them a coffee if you can, or find them a seat. You acknowledge their perception, validate their feeling, show empathy.
You focus on their reality, not your operational excuse. That de-escalates things immediately and rebuilds the connection.
And this isn't just for customer interactions, right? It applies internally too, especially for leaders.
Oh, massively. When a team member comes to you with a problem, a complaint, maybe they feel something's unfair. Even if you, as the leader, think they've misunderstood or are overreacting.
Your first step shouldn't be to correct them.
No. Your first step is to validate their perception. Wow, I hear your frustration. That sounds incredibly challenging for you right now. Let's unpack this together.
That builds trust immediately. It shows you're on their side. You value their feelings, even if the conversation needs to get tough later or involves correcting their understanding.
It opens the door for real problem solving instead of slamming it shut with defensiveness.
The measurable outcome here, it's pretty significant. Better client satisfaction scores, sure. Fewer complaints, definitely.
But also, crucially, stronger team morale. People feel supported. They feel safe putting the client first, and they know their own feelings and perceptions are valued internally too. It's about serving egos respectfully, both client and employee.
And this idea, their perception is our reality, it flows right into the next point, which Godara calls the very engine of excellence, collaboration and affirmation.
Yeah, this is about how you structure the team and foster the right environment. He really stresses empowering ownership, giving people real responsibility, even junior staff.
Not just delegating tasks, but giving ownership.
Exactly. He talks about those ownership programs at EMP, assigning Kirk, a junior staffer, to research and build the entire beer program, or Leo developing the cocktail menu.
These guys weren't experts when they started.
Not at all. But they were given full ownership, the responsibility, the authority. Godara hated that mentality of, it's quicker if I just do it myself.
Oh, that's such a common trap for leaders.
It's a dangerous trap. It stifles growth, kills innovation, disempowers your team, creates bottlenecks. It's terrible long term.
This will absolutely blow your mind how much your team can achieve when you give them real ownership and autonomy. Let them run with something.
So for a banking team leader, how does that look?
Maybe you assign a junior analyst in underwriting to really research and own a specific emerging industry trend. They become the go-to expert for the whole team on that topic.
Or let a branch banker own the local community engagement program. Give them the budget, let them plan and execute it, not just follow instructions.
Or a treasury pro could own developing a new client training module from concept all the way to delivery. It's not just delegating tasks, it's entrusting them with a whole area.
That builds skills, builds confidence, builds engagement like nothing else.
Then there's leveraging affirmation, making sure praise gets shared widely and credit goes where it's truly due.
Godara was fierce about this. External compliments, like from food critics or VIP guests. He made sure they went directly to the team members responsible.
He'd even connect reporters doing a story to the specific person who ran that program, like Kirk for the beer program.
His rule was simple. Don't take credit for other people's work. Shared success lifts everyone.
So think about this, everyone listening. How often do you make sure your team hears praise directly, unfiltered, not just summarized by you?
When a client sends a glowing email about an RM, do you just tell the RM, nice job?
Or do you forward that email to everyone, especially the RM's manager and the RM, of course? Do you publicly acknowledge who drove specific wins in team meetings?
That kind of recognition is like rocket fuel for morale. It shows contributions are seen, they're valued. It makes people want to achieve more.
Godara also embedded learning to teach into the culture.
Right, those happy hour meetings where different staff members, sommeliers, cooks, servers would present on wine or cocktails or a new dish.
Even hourly employees led pre-meal discussions sometimes. It wasn't just about sharing info.
No, it deepened everyone's understanding. It built confidence, public speaking skills. It turned every team member into a potential leader, an educator.
And finally, this genius little idea for fostering teamwork, touch the lapel.
Ah, this is so clever. A simple nonverbal signal.
Totally safe, totally discreet. Staff could use it to indicate they needed help right now without losing face or disrupting the service flow.
You just catch a colleague's eye, subtly touch your lapel. It means, I'm in the weeds, need backup.
Because asking for help could be really hard, right? Especially for high achievers.
Godara recognized that, but he reframed it. He said, asking for help is a display of strength and confidence, not weakness.
It shows you know your limits, you trust your team, you prioritize the overall success above your own ego.
So, banking leaders, could you institute something similar? A clear, non-judgmental way for your team, RMs, facing deadlines, underwriters swamped with files to signal they need support.
Fostering that culture where asking for help is seen as good judgment, not a failing.
The measurable outcome of all this internal focus, it's huge. Higher employee engagement, definitely. Lower turnover because people feel valued, empowered.
Better quality work because you're building specialized expertise. And ultimately, a more resilient, more collaborative team that can handle anything.
Which leads us perfectly into the final part. Part 4, adversity as opportunity and recognizing the nobility of your work.
Yeah, this part really brings it all home. It shows how these hospitality principles aren't just for the good times. They're actually your secret weapon when things get tough.
Godara's recession playbook from 2008 is just a masterclass in creativity during crisis. EMP was losing a lot of money.
They only survived because Shake Shack, their casual sister restaurant, was profitable enough to cover the losses.
But they didn't just panic. Godara and his team got incredibly creative, incredibly disciplined. They cut costs, sure. Mm. Like raindrops making oceans, he called it.
Meaning lots of tiny cuts everywhere.
Exactly. Meticulously scrutinizing every single penny. Fewer cheeses on the cart, maybe. Even literally cutting paper towels in half in the restrooms to make them last longer.
Wow, that's detailed.
But, and this is critical, those cuts were never allowed to impact the guest experience. Yeah. The feeling of hospitality remained paramount. The guests never felt like they were getting less.
That's the absolute key. They didn't just play defense, cut costs, and hide. They played offense, too, strategically.
Right, like introducing those reasonable lunches.
Mm.
A shorter tasting menu, fixed price. Just $29 something. A fraction of the dinner costs.
So that brought in new people.
Totally new demographics who couldn't afford dinner normally. It built loyalty for when the economy eventually turned around.
Mm.
It kept the team busy, kept them engaged.
And they threw that party, right? The Kentucky Derby party.
In the middle of a recession. A huge, audacious move. But it totally energized the team, broadened their community connections, and injected some much-needed fun and playfulness during a super stressful time. You're going to love this example of turning a huge challenge into a team-building win.
So how does this apply to bankers when the economy gets choppy?
Well, the typical reaction in many industries is just slash costs, maybe pull back on client interactions because they seem expensive.
Hunker down.
Right. But the Godara approach is about creative courage. Instead of cutting client engagement, find low-cost, high-value ways to connect, ways that provide value without a sales pitch.
Okay, like what?
Could your team offer, say, pro bono financial literacy workshops for local small businesses who are clearly struggling with cash flow?
Or maybe an RM proactively reaches out, not to sell something, but with genuinely helpful resources, maybe connections that are free to the client.
Exactly. Connect them with an HR consultant who does free initial consults or point them to a new government grant program. Be a resource. Provide support during tough times. That builds immense goodwill.
And for leaders, keep the team engaged, even when budgets are tight. Find those creative, low-cost ways to build connection, foster playfulness, like that derby party.
Think about small business bankers just offering brief, free checkup calls during uncertain times. Not selling, just asking, how are you doing? What are your biggest pain points right now? How can we help you think through things?
Being a partner when they need it most, without an immediate quid pro quo.
A measurable outcome. You strengthen those client relationships when they're under stress. That leads to incredible long-term loyalty. You gain market share when the recovery comes.
And you keep your best people, too. They see a culture that's supportive, ingenious, focused on the long game, not just short-term cuts.
And that brings us to the final and maybe the most profound takeaway from Godara's work. The idea that elevates this whole philosophy, the nobility in service.
This one really hit me. This absolutely transformed how I think about my own role, and I bet it will for a lot of you listening too.
Godara shares that incredibly personal story about his mother passing away suddenly.
Yeah, very raw. He and his father, deep in grief, went to Daniel Boulud's famous restaurant, Daniel.
And in that moment of just immense sorrow, Chef Boulud and his team created this oasis for them, a place of comfort, of restoration.
Godara says that experience taught him how important, how noble working in service can be. It wasn't just dinner, it was care.
For a few hours, amid their grief, the restaurant gave them a different world to escape into, a moment of consolation, of relief. It showed him service isn't demeaning. It's this profound ability to make people's lives better.
To create moments of solace or moments of pure celebration.
He says you have the privilege of joining people as they celebrate the most joyful moments in their lives.
And the chance to offer them a brief moment of consolation and relief in the midst of their most difficult ones.
that resonates so deeply with banking, doesn't it? Our work isn't just about spreadsheets and interest rates. It's woven into the fabric of people's biggest life events.
Absolutely. Think about it. An RM. You're not just funding a loan. You're helping a family realize a dream they've had for decades.
You're helping secure jobs in their community. You're helping build a legacy.
An underwriter. Your careful, diligent work. That provides the stable foundation for those dreams to actually happen responsibly. Without that careful analysis, the dream might crumble.
Or the branch banker.
Yeah.
You might be the first person the client interacts with after a huge life event, a baby is born, they inherit money, or sadly, a spouse passes away.
Your genuine welcome, your quiet understanding, your efficient help, that can provide enormous comfort when they're feeling most vulnerable. It's not just a transaction. It's a human interaction at a critical time.
And for leaders, it means constantly reminding your team of the why, connecting their daily tasks, even the mundane ones, back to the profound impact they have on clients' lives, on the community.
Embracing this idea of nobility. It elevates the work itself. It fosters real personal satisfaction, real pride in creating genuine, lasting value. It makes banking feel, well, deeply human.
It really does. A powerful way to frame the work we all do.
And that's a wrap on our very first deep dive for the Business Banking Edge. Wow, what a journey through unreasonable hospitality.
It's been fantastic unpacking these insights.
Mm-hmm.
So much practical wisdom there.
Yeah, I feel like we just scratched the surface, but hopefully gave everyone a lot to think about. And here's what I'm thinking. This is just day one, right?
Just the beginning.
We're building something bigger here together with you, our listeners. We've got more deep dives coming soon, so definitely hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening.
Yeah, please do. You won't want to miss what we have planned. We're genuinely excited about where this is going.
But here's the thing. This show, it works best when it's really hitting the challenges you're facing, the questions you have.
Absolutely. We need your input to make this as relevant and impactful as possible.
So we really want to hear from you, seriously. What's keeping you up at night in your specific role? What business concept have you heard about and thought, I wonder how that applies to banking, but just never had time to dig into?
Maybe there's an author everyone's buzzing about or a specific industry trend you want us to break down.
Send us your thoughts. Send us your questions, even those random ideas that pop into your head during your commute or after a tricky client meeting.
Because the best deep dives, the ones that really hit home, they come from the real world stuff you're dealing with every single day.
And hey, if something we talked about today sparked an idea, if it made you think differently about even one small part of your job, do us a favor. Share this deep dive with a colleague, someone else who could use that same spark.
Yeah, let's build this community, a community of bankers who aren't content just going through the motions,
yeah.
Who want to be exceptional, who want to find more purpose and, yeah, even joy in what they do.
So maybe a final provocative thought to leave everyone with, building on Godara.
Go for it.
We've talked a lot about applying unreasonable hospitality to clients and internally to teams, but here's the game changer. What if the biggest opportunity for you to practice unreasonable hospitality isn't just outward, but inward?
Interesting. Towards yourself.
Towards yourself, towards your colleagues in a deeper way, towards your own professional growth. How might applying these principles, that 955 rule, creating legends even in small ways internally, focusing on perception, how might applying that to your own development and your peer interactions unlock totally unexpected levels of innovation, fulfillment?
And maybe even, dare I say it, more joy in your day-to-day work. Something to think about for sure.
Definitely something to think about. Stay curious, everyone. Keep pushing those boundaries. And remember, keep growing.
See you next time.